kids go out. I just want to share something with you kind of quickly, but we'll see what happens. Encourage you. We're looking forward to what's going to take place in Africa, but I'm just looking forward to what's going to take place in life in general, because I believe God wants to do something phenomenal in life, no matter where we are, or who we're with, how it's going to happen. We want to see God do something phenomenal. So I'd like you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I also want to take this time to encourage you that the next gift shop, what we do at the gift shop is we just try to encourage everyone that attends in their spiritual gifting. We try to see them develop and grow in the gift that God has given you. But pretty soon, Lisa and I are going to start doing what is called an open house. We had like an open house last Saturday, and we laughed like you never have laughed before. And it was good. And sometimes we need to laugh, yes? And it was real good. We laughed. And I laughed. I laughed. I really laughed. It was real good. I enjoyed the laughter. So if you have your Bibles, Philippians 4, we're going to begin reading verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Now that I speak, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want to talk to you this morning about we're learning. We're learning about life. And for our Americans here, that is my life class 101. And for the British people, that is A-level my life class. And so that's what we're talking about today. Let's pray. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name that you would help me. Help me to declare a word with power, with clarity. And Lord, I pray for spiritual sharpness, that it just doesn't tickle our ears, but it takes us and helps us get to the place you intend us to be. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in this world, we live up to a lot. We live under a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure put upon us by various standards to be or to measure up to something or someone. And there are times when we as believers, we put pressure on ourselves even to measure up to the standards that others are living up to. And I take a time to even think about my brothers in the military and my friends in professional jobs. We have this pressure that comes upon us. And every year, for instance, in the military, they have to take a test to get to rank, you see. And that is an annual pressure that weighs on everybody. And so there's a standards that in the military that they say, well, if you get it under term or under below, then you're below the zone. Then you're really an excelling person. You're great. You're going to do this and you're going to do that. And then everybody who makes it on time or less than time, they say that they're achievers or just unachievers, and they won't be like these fast burners. And in business, you have those guys that are called the movers and the shakers. And everybody has a standard. Everybody has set a standard according to what they see in a worldly condition. And it has even creeped into the church. Because at times we measure ourselves, the Bible says, with others. And the Bible says that's a lack of wisdom, to measure yourself with someone else. And so we see this challenge, even this weight upon people to measure up to a standard. I'm glad I don't have a standard to meet other than the standard that has been set for me by Jesus Christ. I meet up to his desire, his will, and not only do I meet that, at times by his power, he enables us to excel the standard, because I'm not trying to measure myself with someone, I'm trying to meet the love that has been given to me by someone. And when I reach up to him, I find a place that is secure, and I don't have to worry about everybody else. I have a place in him that raises me up out of normality into supernatural power and authority. Are you hearing me this morning? I encourage you here, because sometimes we get a little depressed because we don't meet the standard. We don't measure up to what other people are and what they're able to do and how they're able to do it. I want to tell you something this morning, that God has set a parameter for each of us. He has set individual parameters for us to operate in. My parameters are different than Lisa's. My parameters are different than Joel. I don't have to measure up to them because their parameters are not mine. What God has given them to do is not mine. I have my own piece of work that God has called to. Are you hearing me when I'm saying this morning? I want to encourage you that you don't have to worry about all of that stuff. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:12, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure. That's our parameter, you see. We have a measure that's been given to each of us to operate in. And he says, but according to the measure of the rule which God has distributed to us, a measure to reach even to you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you. For we are come as far as you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. The function and the thing that God is trying to get us to do is to function effectively within the parameters he has set for you and me. And you see, the challenge is not for me to look at what other people do. I need to perfect that which God has given to me. And within those parameters, within that particular borderline, so to speak, I work and I give my effort to see that happen. Some people are able to just talk to people whenever they have an opportunity. Some people feel like they can't do that because they're not necessarily communicate with people that way. But that's okay. They may be able to pray in a way that we can't pray. Are you hearing me? And so we have to get away with this looking at other people and saying, look at this, look at them, because we can't have the one without the other and see the diversity of the kingdom of God established and moved with power. We need it all collectively to make it happen for God. Are you hearing me? And so what the struggle is to know where I am and how I fit within the plan of God according to the parameters he has given me. And it's a journey. It's a journey, and finding those boundaries I want to tell you the secret of staying. It's a journey. We're walking, everyone knows this Christian life is a journey. We're walking through life, and sometimes we encounter stuff we never expected to encounter. But it is a part of the parameter that God has set for your life. Has anybody ever come up against something and you say, where did that come from? Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a minute. Those, where did that come from? Because God has set that in your life, in your parameter, to do something for you. He set it there to do something for you. See, he's not caught by surprise. The only one that's caught by surprise is us. But God is never caught by surprise. You don't see God trying to rush around to get things, oh, something happens, oh, God, what's going to happen? And we start rushing around with anxiety. God is a proactive God. He has set in order everything concerning your life, and he knew what was going to happen before you knew. But let me tell you something, because he allowed it to, he knows you're ready for it. Okay, we're going to look at some stuff here this morning. And so he takes us on this journey to explore the limits of our parameters, these boundaries that he set for us. He takes us on a journey, and we begin to push back and experience the maximums and the minimums, and we begin to explore and find out what we are capable of and what we're not capable of. But he allows those situations to get us to the place. Now, the text implies, it's not said there, but it definitely implies that there is something else happening. There's something called sifting that is taking place in the text that is implied, but it's not spoken of. I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how to abound, and I know how to be abased. You know that takes some sifting to find out how far you can go and how low you can go. It takes some sifting. And that's a painful process, but it's a needed process. It's definite. You know, I don't understand some of this new gospel where everything has to be nice and sweet. Because that's not the way it is in the scripture. The scripture doesn't spell it out like that. When I look in, I see some ugly stuff taking place. Like I'm going to talk to you in a minute about Peter. When Peter, Jesus comes to him and says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. That wasn't positive. That wasn't a good feeling message. And I wonder how would we accept the prophecy coming to us like that? Oh, I don't believe that's God, brother. Mm-mm. I ain't taking that. No, I don't receive that. Don't receive it. But the problem is you better receive it because it's preparing you for something that's coming down the way. And not everything is going to sound nice to make you feel good. Some stuff is going to challenge you ethically. It's going to challenge you morally. It's going to challenge you where you are in God. It's going to challenge you. And I don't know about you, but I need a challenge because the Bible says we are bent on backsliding. I need God to pull me up by my collar. I need the word to come at me. Don't we, this? I need the word to come at me. I don't need, oh, it's going to be okay. He loves you in my sin. Now we need to be challenged. Certain habitudes, attitudes, certain stuff that we think about and do and function, certain fears. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Because that could be a limiting factor in itself, our fear. Our fear of loss. Because somebody comes in with a better ministry than you, you're afraid. It's a fear that prevents us from functioning effectively as a cohesive unit. Because we fear. But God wants us to be rejoicing in the gift of, in some, you hear me? I rejoice in the teaching gift of the brother. He makes me sick though, but. So the teacher's so good. I'm just kidding, you know that, right? You know that, right? But this is what I'm saying, you know? We have to be able to cohesively, in some of those boundaries, God takes us through this stuff so that we can see our limitations, see where we leave off, and somebody else takes it up. But unless we're able to recognize that, we'll always keep trying and trying and trying. Listen, I know what I do. I know what I do. My job is to inspire faith. That's what my job is. I know it. I ain't worried about it. That's what I do. And because I'm here to inspire faith, there are times when I do things spontaneous. You know, that word. I'll do it with spontaneity because it's a faith thing. And ain't nobody trying to limit anybody. I'm just being who I am. And we all need to be free to be who we are. Are you hearing me? Okay, let's go somewhere. Now, I want you to go, See, because God, the sifting takes you to the place where, you know, it takes you to those limitations where, you know, you ever been in a position where you want to quit? The sifting takes you to that level. The sifting takes you to the place where you want to say, uncle. You know. Uncle. Uncle. Who? What's happening? Oh. What's that mean? Uncle. That means you won't quit. Uncle. For everybody who don't know the phrase, it means uncle. You cry uncle. Like when somebody in the wrestlers, they put them on the ground and when they hold them down, they cry, uncle, let me up. Well, anyway, it means you want to quit. But that's what the sifting does. It takes you to a place where nothing else can take you. It takes you to the limits of what you really have in a relationship with Jesus. And there we find out who we really know. See, good stuff ain't going to take you there. It's only the sifting that's going to enable you to gain strength to be able to stand against the stuff that comes your way. There's got to be a sifting. Yeah. I always talk about this, and I know y'all are probably tired of it. I'm going to do it anyway. Miss Lisa went through a sifting when they were trying to get me to come to Christ because I was crazy as they could be. She went through a sifting. I was challenging. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And she could have said, I'm not doing it. I had enough. She said, okay, God, I'll go as far as you need me to go. I'll go as far as you need me to go. And because she was willing to go far, I'm here. Okay, let me help us here. I want you to go to Luke chapter 22, because we're talking about sifting. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Let's read verse 31, and we'll be. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail. And when you have returned to me," I love Jesus with this prophecy, you see, because he's telling this man, you're going to go through some stuff, and actually he's telling him you're going to fail. But see, Jesus, when he prays, he knows the beginning to the end. That's why I love that he's praying for us. See, because he said to him, you're going to fail, but I have prayed for you, and when you return to me, strengthen your brothers. Can I tell you something? The sifting that you're going through right now is not for you. It's for somebody else you're going to meet down the road that needs some strength for themselves. Can I tell you that the stuff that you're going through is not defeating you, it is not destroying you, it's making you stronger. And the day that you stand before what God has intended you to stand before, you're going to have exactly what you need to give to that situation to see it turn around. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Okay. I got my sports stuff on, see? I'm ready to get sporty, man. You know? I may be 61, but I still feel young. I ain't growing old before my time. I guarantee you that by the grace of God. Sorry. So we have the sifting, and during the sifting, there are two intentions in that word. There are two things happening, two mindsets within the sifting. The enemy wants to separate you from God, and Jesus wants to strengthen you in God. There are two mindsets. Now, the enemy, he sifts you, and it's violent. You know, it's violent, and it makes you vulnerable, and you feel like everybody's looking at you. They're sifting you, and everything's shaking up and down, and then you try to protect yourself. That's not the time to protect yourself when you're being sifted. The time is for you to throw yourself on the mercy and the grace of God. That's the only way you're going to get through it. This ain't physical strength. This is spiritual strength. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? It's a challenge. You know, you feel weird. People looking at you. You think people looking at you cross-eyed. Yeah. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, you're coming to church and, are they talking about me? No. Nobody care about what's going on except you tell us what's going on so we can care. We thinking about our own stuff. Man. I got struggles up to here. This week, I had struggles, baby. I had struggles. And next thing you know, there's needs. And then I get a call from the church of St. I, Pastor Vince, we ain't seen you in a long time. You're coming. I'm like, oh, Lord. So I go over there, and I go over there on a Friday night to the prayer meeting, and it was the most powerful prayer meeting. But see, when we call each other into our needs, we find God meets us there. But don't worry who's looking at your stuff. Don't worry about that. And if they are, there should be such a spirit of family in this place that it doesn't matter who knows. You know, that's a challenge for us to let ourselves be vulnerable.
Yeah.
You know, we want to pretend like we got it together, you know. Praise the Lord. God's got it. He's got it. I'm going to talk with a British voice. The Lord has it. It's all together now. And you crumbling inside. You want some affection. You want some encouragement. And we're standing up trying to be strong when we're weak. Okay. So let me press on. So he says, he's praying. The enemy wants to separate you, but God wants to strengthen you. And that's why he's praying for your faith not to fail. Now, the enemy only wants to cause a little doubt in you. He doesn't want to cause a mountain load, a truckload of doubt in you. He just wants us to create a little chink in your armor. Maybe Brother Vince don't feel about me the way he used to feel about me.
Whoa,
I felt something. Maybe Lisa don't feel about me the way they used to feel about me. Can I tell you that is not God's voice? Can I tell you that? If you feel like that, then you need to go talk to the person you feel like that about and make sure you're still on the same. Are you hearing me? Whenever I feel Miss Lisa's being funny with me, I say, what's up? We need to talk about this. Where you at, girl? See, because I can start forming things in my mind that begins to create a gap, a separation. He wants to sift us. He wants to separate. Are you hearing me? Okay. He just wants to cause a little bit of doubt, but the sifting is a very powerful process that does something in you and me that we have no idea. And you can see it in the life of King David. The sifting process. The sifting process prepares you to be ready for something that you would not be able to take on without that process. Y'all remember the story. He stood, let me just go to 1 Samuel. Don't keep your finger in Luke. Go to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. This is a new Bible. I bought this from Amber's mom, and I still haven't got quite the pages released yet, so it takes me a few minutes to get somewhere because all the pages are stuck. So please bear with me. Luke's 1 Samuel chapter 17, we're going to read at verse 34. But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep the father's sheep, and when a lion or bear came and took the lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and I struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the Lord." Now let me tell you something. You may not realize it, but when David faced the lion and the bear, that was a time of sifting. But you're not going to tell me that facing a lion and a bear is a fun time. You ain't going to convince me of that they went up against the lion and the bear, and yeah, we're having a, boy, come on, let's go have some fun with these lions and bears. No, it is not like that. And in fact, let me tell you, that lion and bear had the potential to kill him. But there is something hidden in the scripture that you need to see, because there ain't no boy, he was a ruddy boy, facing a lion and a bear, but yet there was supernatural power in David that enabled him to do something again. Oh, glory be to God. The Bible says he went and took the lamb out of the lion's mouth. What little ruddy boy? What little boy is going to be able to do that other than one that God is with? And so he comes against Goliath after facing these experiences. And he can stand and say, "Who are you?" And that's the the tone that he used. "Who are you? I face a lion and bear, and now I'm facing you?" And we always place the emphasis on Goliath as the trouble. No, beloved. The trouble for David was the lion and the bear, which prepared him for Goliath. I don't care what you say. I'd rather fight a 9-foot giant than a lion or a bear. And he stands up against him, and he is able to do what he's able to do because of what he came through.
Amen.
Yeah. Listen, you're going to come through it, but you got something to do. You hear me, V? You're going to come through it, but on the other side, there's something for you to do. And it's going to be a phenomenal thing when you get through.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. So, I thought about that. He went and he opened the lion's mouth. He put his hands in the mouth of the lion and opened it and took the lamb out. You know what that tells me? That if the enemy ever takes something from me, you hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
I'm going to get it back. Let me show you something else. Because I've learned the parameters before me that there are times, listen, there are parameters that are forced. There are natural parameters established in the natural world that has been put before us. But there are times where God will enable you to step outside of the natural parameters of this world to do something spiritual for him. Remember, let me just read some more stuff. Can I read some more? Y'all okay? What time we got? Oh, give me a few more minutes. You all right, Macho? Come on, baby. The Macho Man. Y'all don't know nothing about, y'all remember the wrestler, the Macho Man, Randy Savage? Yeah. I'm going to get in the ring, and I'm going to take them all out. Because I'm the Macho Man. Yeah. That's you, Macho. Sorry, baby. Hey, let me read Genesis chapter 1. This is the natural order of things. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be the lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And God made two great lights. The greater light ruled the day, and the lesser light ruled the night. But yet, Joshua's in this. You see, there's an established natural parameter that God has set in order. But here's Joshua in the middle of a battle, and he's fighting, and the sun is starting to go down, and they have not yet won the battle. And Joshua stands with boldness, and he says, sun, stand still. Moon, be still over Gibeah. And the Bible tells me that they all stopped. They stood, because Joshua knew in his heart that he can step outside of the natural parameters, because he has a God that doesn't live contained by what is natural, but he lives. And he is all in all. Come on. And he can step outside. And he knew he could step outside and begin to command stuff to happen. Glory be to God. Okay, I'm almost done. Whew. Philippians chapter 4, 11 through 13. We already read it. You see, God is trying to teach us something. He says, I have learned in whatever state I am, there was to be content. I have learned how to abound. I have learned to be abased. I have learned to suffer need. And I have learned to have everything. And you know what it says. Then it says, this is the key. It says, but I have learned that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's important for us to understand, because sometimes we begin to shrink back into the fear of the situation instead of remembering what we've been through and how faithful he was to bring us to where we are. And see, he said, the thing is we're not to work. Listen, you know when Peter and John were at the beautiful gate and they made it clear and that man was begging for alms? He's like, alms for the poor. And Peter, or it was John, one of them, stood and said, silver or gold? I ain't got any of that. See, in Philippians 4, it's trying to get us to see that it doesn't matter what you have. He said, silver and gold, I don't have. But what I do have, give I to you. See, it's not what you have to give, it's who you have to give. That matters most. Get up and walk. See, I calm down and get done. I'm so excited. I could say a whole lot more, but I won't. Maybe this will be for another time. He said, see, people, he said, don't come alive. They don't live. They're not delivered based on what we have to give naturally. They're not changed by what we give naturally. Nothing changes. The Bible says things will always be the same. If I'm ministering to this, the external, they will never change. When Jesus came to the woman at the well, all her life, she has had externals ministered to her. But this man, after six relationships, is the seventh. He is the spiritual man. And he comes and he ministers spirit to her. And she's changed from that moment on. God wants to empower us through the sifting to minister life to people. Amen. Not church. No. Life.
Amen. Amen.
Father, I ask you in Jesus' name that you would help us to take your word and let it go deep within our hearts. Let it do something that it has never done before. Make us what we have never been before. Help us to stand where we were never able to before. And help us to do what we were never able to do before. We ask it in Jesus' name. Be glorified, God. I pray for each and every one until I return that you'll bless my brothers and sisters. Minister life to them. Encourage them. Strengthen them, Father. God, we pray that you would strengthen them with might and power on the inner man, that they'd be able to stand for who you really are. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless, God.